Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
It's Ray Lytle's morning show. He'll bring you up if you feel low. It's Ray Lytle's morning show. It's Ray Lytle's morning show. Get ready, get set, and here we go.
Well, good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. It's Ray Lytle. That's me. How are you people? Harumph, harumph. Well, listen, I know this is going to come as a shock. This will be shocking for most of you. But Nikki was able to work one day this week, and she's not sick again. That immune system, boy, they should study her immune system. They really should. They need, science needs to take Nikki's immune system and do an intense study of it. I mean, look at that immune system and inject it or take her whatever, you know, and make a serum out of it. Because there's nothing. I mean, there's no illness. There's nothing out there that Nikki doesn't catch. So they need to take her immune system and then somehow doctor whatever, you know. They should pump blood out of Nikki and you know, use it for a serum.
I went swimming in Lake Springfield. I was looking for a little fun. Now my stomach won't stop rumbling, and there's something wet between my buns. They say I can't go swimming, and they say I can't water ski. All I know for certain is it burns when I pee. I got leptospirosis, and my stomach sure hurts. Well, I got leptospirosis, I can't get rid of the squirts. I got leptospirosis, I'm sore when I sit in a chair. I got leptospirosis. Oops, I gotta change my underwear.
By the way, that was Jim the photographer as the fart in that song. That was Jimmy's big part. That was his big part right there. He just went, or however he did it. Like, he put his hand over his mouth and went, you know, I can't. Obviously, I can't do it, which is why I had him do it. So that was Jim the photographer's contribution to the leptospirosis song, which I believe is one of the many diseases Nikki has caught in her life, is leptospirosis. So, yay. Good for Nikki. Now, she sent me, when did Nikki send me a, hold on, let me check my correspondence. And I'll tell you when Nikki sent me her a message today. Nikki messaged me at 6:32 a.m. and said, out sick, dot, 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 can't stop coughing, dot, 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 hard to breathe. Nikki's out again. Like I was saying earlier, they really should take blood from her and inject it into everybody, because I'm sure that she has leftover illness from every disease known to man. You know, every disease man has ever had, I'm sure that it is currently in Nikki's body in some form of either recent or somewhat recent, you know, habitat in her being. And if they gave a little injection, then we would all be somewhat infected. Excuse me, by the whatever illness, you know, whatever illness, and we would start to build antibodies towards it. Nikki's blood could end up saving us all. Her very contagious blood could make all of us live forever. Because like I said, she's out again. So, 814-0332 is the phone number. My name is Ray Lytle, and I'm live right now on MorningDisaster.net. Of course, many of you, most of you are listening to this on a podcast. I thank you as always. I thank you so much for listening to the program. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love that so many of you go out of your way to download this every single day. And I thank you for doing that. I truly do. Sometimes I wonder why you do that, but I'm glad that you do. I think it's fantastic. Thank you so much for listening and for spreading the news. However, a lot of you are not. A lot of you are not spreading the news as you should. Okay, I gotta say that. All right. I've got to say that. And, I'm not scolding anyone. I'm not scolding. I'm just saying, you know, would it kill you to share it just a little more? I mean, you know, I do feel like a lot of you guys, I feel like I'm your dirty sex mistress, you know? Like you love having me early in the morning, you know. Like on your way to work, you stop over and you do something dirty, you know. Like I'm willing to do the butt and your wife won't, you know. So I'm your dirty sex mistress, you know. Like I'm willing to, you know, give you some. Like, I talk dirty and your wife won't, you know what I mean? I'll lie to you and tell you how endowed you are and things like that. That's what I will do. And because of that, you like our private thing. But I need you, but you don't tell anybody about your dirty sex mistress, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, I don't want to, this is my dirty sex mistress, I can't tell anyone about this, you know, because my wife will find out. No, please, stop treating me like your dirty sex mistress. Please. You know what I mean? Give me the courtesy. I mean, I'm letting you do the butt, and I'm using my feet, or I'm sticking things in your rear end, and I'm doing all these things that your wife won't do for you. I'm your dirty sex mistress. The least you could do is tell your friends to listen to the show. That's all I'm saying. It's the least you could do for your figurative little dirty sex mistress. That's all I'm saying. All right. All I'm saying. Phone number once again, 814-0332 if you feel like calling in. I also have your emails and messages to the Ray Lytle's Morning Disaster Facebook page. I should read some of those and see what's going on. And check my own personal Facebook page, which is always, you know. Got a bunch of messages. Although, I am, I know it seems like I'm horrible about returning messages. But seriously, I do get a lot of them. And I just don't always, you know, unless I'm keeping up on it every single day, I'm going to lose some, you know. There are some that go by the wayside, so forgive me. Forgive me for not, keeping up with that as I should. But if you send me a message today, I promise I'll see it. I actually see that I have messages now that I'm going to see. Let's see. Ray, I listened to the show from yesterday. Earlier this morning. Okay, so earlier this morning, he listened to yesterday's show. You should pull a best of Barack Obama mention segment. I think what has made the latest best of podcast so great was the new material that hadn't been in the other best of bits. Okay. I'm also glad you remember how Obama got noticed. I tell the story of Jerry Ryan and his, Jack Ryan, of Ryan and his sex club stuff every once in a while. I'll show a picture of Jerry Ryan and say she's the reason Obama is president. That's absolutely true, by the way. And talk about how she filed for divorce and all the sex stuff was in the filings. Yeah, and it was, Illinois Republicans that found all that stuff and exposed Jack Ryan. Because I'm telling you guys, and I said this yesterday, if Jack Ryan runs and none of that sex stuff comes out, he would have been the senator from Illinois. There's no doubt about it. He was in the polls. He was that big. And this was after Paul Simon, in a very decidedly Democratic state before then. But there was something appealing about Jack Ryan, where you were like, okay, I could, Paul Simon was there forever, and we could see him, we could see Jack Ryan being the first Republican to, you could see all that stuff. And then when he, it was just crazy. You know what I mean? It was just, it was nuts. It was like Paul Simon was a downstate guy. You know what I mean? And you had, Paul Simon was downstate, and Jack Ryan was up from Chicago. He was up from Chicago. Or down from? I don't know. Who knows? Now I told you guys to email me. I'm answering your messages instead of thinking what I'm saying. Which is why I like having a partner here, by the way. This is why I like people with me when I'm doing this show. Jack Ryan was the guy that was he was the presumptive senator. I mean, everybody's like, this guy's going to win the election. There's no doubt about it. He's going to win. At the time, he was going to be the guy. And then when the sex thing came out, they needed, the state didn't know what to do. And there were like eight different groups that were trying to figure out, how they were going to, who was going to run, how they were going to do it. The primary process was going to be interesting. They were going to be both Democrats and Republicans and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was crazy. It really was, it was nuts. And then Barack Obama was a guy who, who was, dare I say it, he was touted by Oprah. By Oprah, of all people. Oprah got it. I mean, Oprah was talking about him. And, of course, people in Chicago were talking about him. And I told the story about him down here. And, we liked him. And, but for down here, it's like we didn't know anything that it really stood for. We thought he had a funny name. And we thought that it was cool how he'd go, hi, Bodine. When he'd see Bodine. So it was crazy. I mean, it was really just a bizarre. That was a bizarre time, and I told the story of Andy, of that guy Andy Martin, who was the guy that started this whole birther thing, and it was very bizarre. There was a whole time, There was nuts, You had I guess I should. I am corrected. I forgive me. Peter Fitzgerald was in there before. Thank you. As I'm trying to remember this correctly. Now people texting or emailing me and saying I'm forgetting blah, blah, blah. Of course I'm forgetting these things. Once again, I'm by myself. I wish I had Sean on, because I'll tell you, Sean and I were the ones that did this on the air. And I got to tell you something. I go and I listen to these. I listen to old shows. That's how I get this stuff. I have all the old shows, and I listen to them all the time when I'm doing these best of shows. So I go through, I pick a show, and I listen to it, and I just hear bits and pieces. And while I'm going through these shows in 2003, 2004, that's where I'm finding this stuff. And I'm hearing it, and it seems so. It's so relevant today, and at the time, it just didn't. Like, I don't even have the thing separated. I don't have them pulled out or anything. These are just bits in the actual shows. So that's how I'm finding this stuff. Anyway, so yeah, Jack Ryan was the guy. I mean, he was a moderate Republican, sort of along the lines like how Mark Kirk is now. I don't know if you guys, you know, Mark Kirk. He does have some Democrat support, and Jack Ryan was the same way. Well, then this stuff came out, and the Republicans just, you know, they fried him. I mean, you know how we all are looking to eat our own. And that's what happened to him. The Democrats said, "Oh, we can win this thing," and they needed a candidate to run. Boom, they got Barack Obama. And then the Republicans, I think I talked about this yesterday. They wanted Mike Ditka to run, and then there were a bunch of like carpetbaggers. And the Republicans were so scared, they're like, "Oh, we're so screwed because we need to get our own black guy to run." And they ended up getting some talk show host who lived in, I forgot what state the guy lived in. So anyway, so let me go back to the email or to the message. It says blah, 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 blah. Let's see. I forgot what the guy says. "I'm glad you remembered how Obama got noticed. The story of Jack Ryan and his sex club stuff. I'll show a picture." Let's see. What's he saying? Hold on. Let me go back to the beginning. I lost my space. "Raz, listen to the show from yesterday this morning. You should pull a Best of Barack Obama mention segment. I think that's what's made the latest Best of Pod so great. It was a new material that hadn't been on other Best of Bits. I'm also glad you remember how Obama got noticed. I tell the story of Ryan and his sex club stuff every once in a while. I'll show a picture of Jerry Ryan and say, she's the reason Obama's president. And I talk about how she filed for divorce and all the sex stuff was in the filings." Yeah, it's because he was being difficult in the divorce, though, remember? And at one point, like, his advisors were saying, "Just give her everything. You know what? Screw it. Just give her what she wants and move on." And he was fighting her on something, and that's where the stuff came up. It got nasty in the divorce. At one point, the divorce was going to be cool. And I think it had to do with the kid or the house. There was something that he could, you know, he could have gotten it so easily. If you know what I mean? If he would have just like worked out what, and I can't remember what it was, and I'm sure that one of you guys will remember. Like, none of this would have come up if he wasn't insisting on her not getting money from something. Like, he was trying to hold on to something, you know. And I can't remember. For some reason, I want to say it was in the custody or it was in the, or something with the house, okay? Because she had, you know, she had a lot of money and he had some money. And they were wanting to make sure they each got, like, the most possible. You know, there's a whole thing. And, so anyway, it says all of the sex stuff was in the filings. Yeah, it was in the, they did a new, like it was settled. And then they did this new thing as to trying to prove why they both were unfit parents or what, I mean, and something like that. You know what I mean? And it came up that he took her to like a swinger event, all right, or a swinger club or something. And and like forced her to do stuff. One of them forced the other one to watch them die. I don't know what it was. But it had to do with swingers, and I have to go back and find all that stuff. It was swingers and dirty sex whores. Whatever it was. But that Jerry Ryan was hot. And Jack Ryan was a good-looking guy. I mean, they were a hot couple. I can see them being very popular at the swinging event, which leads to this message. Did Nikki ever take part in a swinging thing with Jerry and Jack Ryan? So, therefore, isn't Nikki part of the reason Obama is president? Did Obama know that because he was born in Kenya, he would have to distract people from the issue? So he got Nikki into swinging. Maybe this is how Nikki got into swinging. for the sole purpose to bring Jerry Ryan into swinging and eliminate Jack Ryan from Senate consideration.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, before Jack Ryan got, you know, outed as a sex fiend from the swinger club stuff, Barack Obama, he was polling horrible. No one had heard of Barack Obama. It was going to be Jack Ryan. It was going to be, they were like, oh, we're finally going to get a Republican, blah, 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 blah. That's what was going through the mind of people in Illinois. And then after that, it was all Obama all the time. So, yeah, that's what I was talking about yesterday. Let's see. What else is going on? Questions. By the way, thank you, Brett. He's saying that the guy that the Republicans eventually ran was a talk show host from West Virginia. Right. A carpetbagger. And then, if I remember correctly, like, the guy wouldn't even, you know, he didn't want to come to Illinois to, like, campaign and stuff. He's like, oh, that's too far to drive. And Obama destroyed just destroyed him. It wasn't even close. Was not even close, that Senate election. Eventually, you know, he did that. He gave this, you know, during that election season, he gave this amazing speech at the Democratic Convention. He got on the radar. Oprah was talking about him. And in 1988, he ended up becoming president of the United States. But he doesn't even win that Senate election if it weren't for the swinger club. Now, by the way, nowadays, I'm pretty sure that would get him elected. Because people don't care now. They really don't care. I did get, somebody was mad yesterday about something I said about Trump. But what the hell was that? Oh, my line when I said yesterday, I go, listen. Not all Trump supporters are racist. And I actually do. I believe that certainly not everyone who likes Trump is a racist. But I said, I'm positive that 100% of racists like Trump. And then it was Al. Al was trying to say that, oh, that's not true, that the head of the KKK is a Hillary Clinton supporter. Right. Right. And the damn media's not talking about it. Oh, it's the media's fault. Yes, the media has information because we all know, if I tell you to say, who's the head of the KKK? Who is the head of the, everybody's going to tell you who they think the head of the KKK is. By the way, he's not anymore. They're going to say it's David Duke. But, you know, he's the KKK people or KKK guy who wears it on his sleeve like he's proud of it, you know. Some people, you'd think that in the KKK, you'd be ashamed of being in it. No, not David Duke. He's proud of it. He's running for, hell, he'll probably win the way people are these days. So, you know, and his support of Trump is non-wavering. And, of course, Trump was called out because it's like, dude, immediately, when an open racist, an admitted racist, a proud racist, says he wants to support you immediately as a candidate, you should say, well, that's very nice of him to do so, but I'm not interested in his support. Immediately you do that. You know, it's like when Vladimir Putin came out and said, I like Trump. I think America should vote for Trump. You go out and say, I want to thank Vladimir Putin. Smart man, obviously smart man, great leader, many people say he's a better leader than Obama, much better leader, and I thank him for his support. Okay, no, you don't take a world leader that's the enemy of the United States and thank him. You say, well, that's nice of him to weigh in, but it's not his country, and I really am not interested in his support. That's what you say. Seriously, that's what you say. You don't thank him, call him a great leader and good for the world. And what do you, what happens is the when the leader of if Al Qaeda's leader endorses, you're going to put out a tweet. They're going to think he's a great leader. He's got a great resolve. ISIS is pussies compared to this guy. He's a great leader. And I thank you for the endorsement. By the way, the one thing I see from, and I don't know how I got on this mailing list, but the one of the things I see from Trump is, my God, he is begging for money. It's unbelievable. A guy who said, I don't need money to run. I don't need these special interests. I don't need this. I don't need blah, 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 blah. For someone, I've got more than enough money to run myself. By the way, that's how a lot of people first started liking Trump. Is that, that was the strategy that was working. When he said, when he was saying that he had more than enough money to fund his own campaign. He didn't need to take donations. Well, now, my God, I can't, I somehow got on a mailing list. I'm going to thank whoever did that. I think it was Al. And I, the Facebook ads, and I mean, all I see from Trump is, are you big league ready to make America great again? Well, then prove it to me. Donate $183 or more today, and you will receive your official Trump signed white hat. It's a limited special offer while stock lasts. Don't miss out. Donate to me now. So he's signing 1,000 signed Donald Trump Make America Great hats again. But I wouldn't wipe my ass with that ugly freaking hat, by the way. Those are the ugliest, cheapest freaking hats. Good Lord. I mean, come on. I'd rather wear a hat rooting for a soccer team than put on a bad soccer team, like a team that's so good it like got kicked out of the Premier League or something. I'd rather wear a hat promoting that. I'd rather wear a hat for promoting the show Hamilton. Then wear Make America Great Again. Those hats are so ugly. And the man who, I don't need anybody's money to finance my campaign, is now begging average people, regular people, begging them for a couple hundred dollars for a signed hat of him. Are you kidding me? And only for the first thousand. Only for the first thousands of these hillbillies who are voting for him. Good Lord, you know that. They sent in their Social Security money to get those hats long ago. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not getting a hat. Thanks for the money. I'm going to use it now to buy a statue of myself to put in the campaign headquarters, but I'm going to have them lie and show me as having a really endowed penis. I tell you, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I see a lot of people. Steve, by the way, if you watched Stephen Colbert last night, he had an amazing takedown of Trump. But I did have an epiphany while watching it. I'm like, he had all of Trump's lies, and he just showed how, he shows how the man just lies. And the proof that he used to show he lied was him. He said, here's Donald Trump talking, here he is, saying the exact opposite of what he was just saying. And it proved he was a liar. And you know what? It was like, I was watching it and I had this epiphany and I go, you know what? They don't care. They honestly don't care. And that's what I figured out with a lot of Trump fans. They know he's lying. In fact, they hope he's lying. And not only are they pretty sure he's lying, they're hoping everyone else is believing the BS that he's spreading out there. And they're rooting for people to fall for the BS. They know he's lying because they have eyes. And they've seen the bullshit the man spreads. They heard him say things like a week ago. And then he contradicts him today. I was the first person, blah, blah, blah. For example, he's now bragging. I don't know if you guys saw this, but and I'm not making this up. I mean, you can always just get on Twitter. You can read his own words. He's bragging. After the bombing in New York City, he's like, I called it. I'm smarter than the media. I called it. It was a bombing, and I called it. I hate to pat myself on the back. No, you don't. You love to pat yourself on the back. So he's, once again, he's bragging because he's, he's bragging because he predicted this or he said it. I said it was a bombing long before they did. Who cares? So basically you're saying, oh, I just, without any kind of official confirmation or without any, you know, while our police were still in harm's way trying to investigate this, I was running out saying what it was. And he wants a pat on the back for it. It's unbelievable. It's like when he basically called our cops losers yesterday. And this is, if you, and I should find the actual audio. But in the same friggin' audio, he's thanking the police union in, I can't remember the city. He's thanking the police union for their support. And then he calls police losers for not being able to find, or for not being able to get terrorists preemptively. I mean, the man, and you can hear it in his own words, but the man, but people don't, what I'm saying is people don't care. People who come from the other side, they focus on it so much and they go, oh, now we've got him. Now we've got him. And they, what they don't realize is his supporters, they don't care. Stop thinking you got him because you don't. They know he's lying. In fact, they're glad he's lying. They don't care. In fact, they want him to lie because they know that his policies are so bad, or his lack of policies is so bad, that the only way he could possibly win is by lying. And you've got a bunch of people on the left that are going, oh my God, he's a liar. We just got the proof. Now we've got him. And a bunch of people that are Trump supporters going, oh good, that's a good lie. That one will fool him. And then, you know, there's, I sometimes believe there's like, you know, 2,000 people in this country that haven't decided something. And both sides are fighting for those 2,000 people. If we were smart, people, we would be the undecided. I would be publicly going on saying, I'm just undecided. I don't know what, I just don't know who I'm going to vote for. I have no idea. We'd be going to Facebook saying, I just have no idea who I'm going to vote for. Because we would be one of the people whose ass would get kissed. We would be one of those people. That's what would be happening. By the way, while Stephen Colbert was doing this amazing, and I really do mean this, while Stephen Colbert was doing this amazing piece of comedy, but factual comedy, pointing out Trump's lies, Jimmy Fallon was continuing the Jimmy Fallon ass-sucking tour, and he had Hillary Clinton on his show to suck her ass after he sucked on the ass of Donald Trump last week. Oh, man, I just like him to come on my show and have fun. You know, they just need to come and have fun. Listen, I'm going to tell Jimmy Fallon how to do his show. It's not my cup of tea. You know, I think he intentionally does a show for stupid millennials. And listen, he's not a teacher. He's not a teacher, but I'm saying that part of the big problem in this country is millennials are stupid, you know. especially the ones that act like they're smart. They're the dumbest of them all. And I know it's not Jimmy Fallon's place to fix that. It's not his place to somehow make them smarter. But God damn, do you have to speed up the process of making them dumb? You know, the girl Samantha Bee, who's got a show on. She's on before Conan on Mondays. My God, she did a. I don't have time to play the whole thing, but my God, did she do a great look? Just search it, guys. Search it. She did a piece on Jimmy Fallon last night that puts everything in the words that I can't put into words, which was what I've been thinking. Really, just if you get a chance, look at Samantha Bee and her takedown last night of Jimmy Fallon. It really was interesting. It says everything that I'm trying to say, but I'm not intelligent enough or smart enough or gifted enough to do it the way she did. By the way, that's a show that nobody's watching that they should. It's some amazing comedy. It really is, but also meaningful. I think she's, you know, and maybe it's because she's on cable. She doesn't have to have the biggest audience or whatever, but still, you know. Still, people need to check that out. But I'm telling you, my whole thing is that I think people know. They know, the people on the left keep trying to bust Donald Trump in a lie and hoping that somehow his support, that's going to convince his supporters, oh, this is a horrible idea to vote for this man. No, and I'm telling you, it's not. They don't care. Of course they know he's lying. They're going to say, oh, is Trump talking? Yes. Oh, okay, well, he's lying then. Yes, no problem. And then you say, oh, are you bothered by that? Are you still going to vote for him? Oh, hell yeah, I'm going to vote for him. Yeah, he's my guy. You know, it's like this, and I've said this before. I've been saying this for since 2011 now. I've been saying we treat politics like they're sports teams, you know. It's like, no, I love my Dallas Cowboys. I love them. Well, they have players on the team who raped. Oh, that's okay. I forgive them. I still love the team. Yeah, but they have people who, you know, who did a performance-enhancing drugs. Oh, that's okay. I still love them. They're still my team. And that's how Trump fans treat him, you know. That's how they treat him is, oh, well, he said something horribly racist. No, that's okay, you know. Yeah, I know, but that's all right. Well, he's xenophobic and he hates immigrants unless he's, you know, having sex with them. Well, that's okay, you know. Well, he lied about Obama. And in the same time, he blamed Clinton. Oh, that's okay. People, I'm telling you, they know he lies. They just don't care. They've already forgiven him for any lie he's told and the bullshit he will spread in the future. They don't care. Somehow, he continues to go. People love it. They love his rudeness. They forgive his bullshit. I'm telling you, they just they don't. His fans, his fan, and I say fans. It's not even supporters. He has fans. They don't care. They don't care. I mean, Trump is a guy who's he was blaming Hillary Clinton. She never has a press conference. She doesn't talk to the media. Meanwhile, Trump doesn't. He's not even allowing the press reporters anywhere near him, unless it is Fox News, who suck his ass, or Jimmy Fallon. And yet, while he's doing that, while he's neglecting to speak to anyone who's going to ask him, you know. To cite facts, while he continues to not allow those people anywhere near him, he's calling out Hillary Clinton on it. And by the way, Hillary Clinton's too stupid to, you know, to fight back on that one. She's like, well, I'm just going to take more questions. Like, people are going to notice it. One thing that she doesn't realize, that's where Hillary Clinton's different from her husband. Bill Clinton, he'd get down and dirty in the mud. Hey, they want to put it down the mud. I'll take out my shirt and get in that mud. I'll screw that pig if I have to. Bill Clinton would get down in the mud with the pigs. And when it was all said and done, he'd screw the pigs. Hillary Clinton won't do it. She's trying to be above it all. I'm above it all. And that's where she screws up. I mean, you're dealing with idiots in Florida. They respect people who get down in the mud. They respect them. You're not getting down in the mud with this guy. All leading up to why I think the debate next week could be amazing. Because, you know, Hillary Clinton's advisors have now got to be telling her, you know, you've got to get down in the mud, right? You know you're going to have to get down there with him. You're going to have to attack him on something during that debate. And when you attack him, he's going to hit you back with saying, you know, maybe if she could please her man, he'd be at home. She'd keep him at home. You know, he's going to say something like that offensive. And you damn well better be ready to get down with him. You got to be willing to hit him on his divorces, his bankruptcies, and all these things. And if you really want to get to Trump, she's going to have to hit him on being a liar about how much money he has. That's where you get to him. You want to make him go crazy? You know, cite the fact, the truth, that he is not a billionaire. He's valued his own brand as worth $1 billion, people. His own brand. By the way, I have valued my brand at $7.48, in case you're wondering. All right, let's see. What's the other thing that annoyed me yesterday? Oh, Talk Like a Pirate Day. Oh. Who the hell, who decided that? The Talk Like a Pirate Day is a thing. I'll give you one. You know what? Listen, I'll give you one nice little Facebook post or something like that. That's good. Some of these people out there all day long, it's R this, R that. Oh, shut the R up with the Talk Like a Pirate. Jesus. How about Talk Like You're Intelligent? Maybe that should be a day on Facebook. Try not to talk like a jackass. Oh, the Talk Like a Pirate Day was just too much for me yesterday. Arr, me mateys. Oh, shut up. Talk like you got a brain. Talk like a pirate. Oh, my God. Oh, I just want to slap people. I just wanted to slap people. I really did. Speaking of wanting to slap people, anyone who watches Dancing with the Stars, last night, my wife and I, she was sitting, I was on the couch and she was sitting there and the Cubs were playing. I was watching the Cubs game, of course. And I was flipping over to the Bears game. Oh my God. I mean, oh my God. They were horrible, by the way. The Bears are the Chicago unbearables. That team is so bad and so beyond help. Everything they try to do, it makes them worse. Why they just couldn't blow that team up and start again years ago is beyond me. It really is. But anyway, we were watching these things, and I usually keep them, you know, like one and the other, and you just hit the previous, right? And when you hit previous, you go back to the other channel. Well, I also had a WWE Raw recording. And I decided I'd go over there and check it out, so I hit the two, you know, because I have DirecTV, it's on 242. Well, when I hit the two, and I'm talking to my wife, and somehow I hit 20, which had on today, or which had on last night, it had on Dancing with the Stars. Now, anybody who's listened to me for any time, you know I've never seen this show. I've seen seconds of it, you know, but I've never actually seen the show for any matter of time, you know. So I put it over. My wife and I are having a conversation. I put it what I think is on wrestling, and I'm looking at her, and I go back, and it's on Dancing with the Stars, all right? And then my dog is jumping, and I drop the remote, and I'm so I got to reach the remote, right? And it's on Dancing with the Stars, and my wife is even like, oh, you know, we're like making a joke about how, oh, my God, moving off of Dancing with the Stars. But we've never really watched any of the show. So it's on, and I got the dog here, and I grabbed the remote, you know, and instead of immediately turning it, I get my eyes, and my wife says they get transfixed on. There's a guy wearing a green, like the ugliest green suit, and he's prancing around there with some woman, and we saw like 2 minutes of it. And then they get done, and then these the experts, and this one expert, I thought you danced lovely. I mean, this guy, oh my God, this guy. If Trump wants to throw somebody out of the country, go with the guy, that little annoying guy on Dancing with the Stars. Oh my God, I couldn't tell you the name. I do know that the one, the blonde girl, who, I guess I'm wrong, because I always thought she was a dancer, but I guess she's a judge. And I can't think of her name, but she's the good-looking blonde who looks like she's about 20. Somehow she's a judge, which I always thought she, which shows how stupid I am. I thought she was a dancer. And it was Ryan Lochte. And so basically, a long story short, my wife and I saw about 90 seconds of Dancing with the Stars. Now, my wife has never seen the show. Like I said, I have seen seconds of it before. Like my mother was over, she was watching it. When my daughter was young, they watched it and stuff. And I've never watched it for any amount of time. My wife, meanwhile, has never seen the show. But she's got people she works with and friends who are like, oh my God, Dancing with the Stars is so good. Oh my God. Makes me so wet. I'm like Niagara Falls in my mid-region because Dancing with the Stars is so good. Old women, good Lord. They love that Dancing with the Stars. Oh! My pussy feels like it's 18 again. I'm sure I'll lose listeners in that line, but you got to admit it. They're a little too excited about it. So my wife watches the 90 seconds of it, and she goes, oh my God, it's dumber than I thought. It's dumber than I thought. And I go, what are these people judging? What are they judging? You guys, I know I have said things about, horrible things, about Dancing with the Stars. But I'm telling you, I was too nice. Too nice. That is the dumbest show. It really, and I know it sounds like I'm complaining a lot, but I'm telling you, that's the dumbest freaking show on television. When Trump wins and horrible things happen, people are going to go, God damn, how the hell did this happen? We're going to go Dancing with the Stars. That's how it happened. Go watch Dancing with the Stars. Watch The Bachelor. That's how it happened. This is what is considered entertainment these days. That's what's considered entertainment. Right there. You want to know how Trump won? There you go. Dancing with the Stars. The Bachelor. That's what we consider good entertainment. 90 seconds, some of the worst, one of the worst attempts at entertainment I've ever seen in my life, is a swimmer who was recently in trouble for causing an international incident because he was so effed up that he lied. Being praised for his dancing ability. Of which, in my 90 seconds of viewing, I saw none. And by the way, I mean ability. I didn't see any ability coming from this person. Horrible show. I mean, a miserable show. Brent is sending me a message. Pretty funny. Brent says, he's checking off. So he goes, Ray Lytle show today. 1, millennials are dumb. 2, talk like a pirate day is dumb. It says, Ray, you're getting really close to shouting, get off my lawn. And by the way, the dumbness started with American Idol. I'll give you that, Brett. Absolutely. Absolutely. It started with American Idol. Yeah. It just shows how dumb we are, how dumb we've gotten. We live in an amazing time. We really do. We live in amazingly interesting times right now. I do have questions to get to. I should probably pop on Facebook, but I'm too lazy. And I look like hell, so I'm not. I do have questions. I don't know if I want to take the first one, but... But what the hell? I mean, I'm sure there's nobody listening. I probably already offended with my Trump comments. We probably already lost half the live audience. The ones that are going, I don't know, man. What he says makes pretty good sense to me. Makes pretty good sense to me. I'm going to vote for him. He's a true American. But what the hell? Now would be the time to read questions like this. Ray, are you ever going back to real radio? Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not sure real radio exists anymore. All right. To answer your question, I'm not sure real radio exists. I predict I'll be on it again at some point. Especially if I could find the right station. There's got to be out there somewhere. Somebody's got to be doing radio that, you know, that will just let you talk about, you know, the kinds of things I get to talk about here, you know. There's got to be somebody out there that lets me talk about, you know, where they aren't giving you this is what you're allowed to talk about, this is what you're not allowed to talk about. Maybe if someone can do that, I'll go back. Maybe if someone can not insult me about, you know, my past or my abilities, you know, like if someone's going to tell me, you know, I don't want to work for anybody that thinks I don't know how to do good radio or I don't know how to keep an audience or I don't know, you know, I just want someone who believes in me and says, go do what you do. And to be honest, I don't know if I'm ever going to find that. I've had stations talk to me, but I think we've discussed this before. The amount of travel involved to go work at the place would be, if I was 25 years old, and it was just Deidre and I, my wife and I would have picked up and left months ago. I've had opportunities to go back and do, well, not rock, but I've had opportunities to do classic rock. I've had opportunities to do classic hits. And I've had opportunities for talk. But it would require picking up my family and moving I mean, a couple of these are across the country. And with a daughter, you know, just starting high school, and my wife really enjoying her job, and you know, and this fact, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but I've worked hard, and granted, I guess I fucked up. I picked Springfield, Illinois to be the place where I created my brand, but I've been broadcasting in this area since 1987 when I was a kid. Now I left and came back, but I was syndicated from Peoria to here. I did the Morning Disaster for 10 years here. I've done talk radio for the last 5 years here. You know, I've established my, I've done internet radio for God since 2005. I've established a brand. My mistake is that I established it in the wrong town. You know, I established such a small place. But the fact of the idea of getting up and going to another town where they don't know where I am or they don't know who I am is not just frightening, but I think it would be it would honestly be, it would put my family in a worse situation, you know, to do that. Because here in Springfield, Illinois, I can always fall back on my name. It's truly amazing. The day after I was fired, or the day after it was in the paper that I was fired, because I was actually fired before that, but once it hit the papers when it got real, you know. My internet show, this show, the day after it became public that I was fired from the last talk show job, where they swore to me it had nothing to do with my politics, but if you listen now for the ad where they're because the ratings came out and they got shelled in the afternoon or whatever happened, you know, is what I'm assuming. That's what I was told. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's what I was told. Very good sources. And they're now looking for a live host. And they actually say in the ad while looking for a live host, we're a conservative station. We want a conservative host, you know. Which, by the way, is a direct insult to me. You know. Of which I have been asked that question before. What do you think of that? Or what was my first response when you heard that? Oh, my first response was, fuck you. You know. That's my response. I don't dislike the people, but that's my response. You know. So, yeah, to answer that, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get back because we know what Springfield has. And I've said this time and time again. My goal is to do something online that everyone cares about. Now, granted, I guess that's up to me. You know, it's up to me to be interesting enough to make everybody tune in or go out of their way to tune in. But I would be lying. I would be lying if I didn't say that I would love to find a company or a radio station that would let me be me. I would love that. So to answer your question, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be getting back to real radio. Like I said, I'm not sure these days if real radio exists. I really am not. I'm not convinced of it. I know there are good, smart people, you know. There are some really good, smart people that are running radio. But if they can't let me be me, then, you know. Then that is probably not worth my time. So I hope that answers the question that I probably should not have answered. So thanks for that. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, TJ sent me a message. You guys, he has made and I got to listen to it because I'm going to play highlights here. I talked last week about how Rage, who's on The Morning Disaster, he does a show called, or he's on a show called Mayhem Unleashed that TJ does. And so TJ hosts this show called Mayhem Unleashed, and there was a whole thing with Rage where TJ hit him with this thing saying, hey, are you ever going to pay back Sarah Jane or $50? Which started on the old, was either, I think it was in Chubby Ray, actually. It was either on Chubby Ray Live or on Breaking Curfew. I'd probably have to ask P-Double. He'd remember. I don't remember which one it was on. But it was a great segment. And we're still talking about it all these years, you know, 6, 7 years later. We're still talking about it. Because it was so crazy that, you know, it was just crazy that he did what he did. And TJ had Rage on, asked about it. Rage got angry, and then Rage mother effed me. And then TJ's like, you need to apologize to Ray, and he wouldn't do it. There's like 5 or 6 episodes of the show where there's all this Rage stuff that happens. Now, TJ, I guess, had taken all of the Rage stuff from his shows. He pulled all the Rage stuff out and turned it into one special Rage podcast. And I don't know if he's released it to everybody yet, but he sent me a copy of it. And I admit, I have not gotten a chance to listen to it yet. But I am going to listen to it. And I'll tell you what, because Nikki's sick today, I wish I would have listened to it last night and pulled the clips. But I didn't know she, I mean, how did I not know? I mean, you know. But I didn't realize Nikki was going to be gone, or I would have pulled this audio for you and played it. But he's got full audio of Rage, and I guess there's the whole saga of Rage. So if you are the least bit interested in Rage and what happened with that, he's putting out a special podcast that has all of the Rage stuff, and I guess it's in chronological order. So you could listen, you can kind of follow it without listening to all the other stuff. And it's a good, you should listen to the other stuff. It's a good show, you know. But, you know, to hear it chronologically is going to be cool. So I'm going to listen to it, okay? I'm going to listen to it and then pull the clips for you. Or I'll give you the link when it's out officially. You can follow him online, by the way. Mayhem Unleashed on Facebook is where you can find his page. All right, to get the podcast and stuff. By the way, Gully has just broken. Gully broke in and said, "Hey, it was Breaking Curfew." Yeah, I knew it was one of them. But I think we kept it up on, of course we kept it up on Chubby Ray, and we've talked about it every, I mean, on this show, and every internet show I've done since then, it has come up. Rage used to be known for being the guy that did Rage Against the Machine and doing all the mobile unit stunts on The Morning Disaster, but not anymore. I'm convinced Rage is now known more for the way he treated Sarah Jane. And I think Gully called him a date rapist or Linus or one of those guys. And Sarah Jane told the story, and it was just so, I mean, it was so sleazy, skeezy. Just, it made Rage seem like such a scumbag, for good reason. And he's probably more known for that than he is for the mobile unit stuff now, for the online audience. But this is him talking. I guess he talks about it, so I haven't got a chance to listen to it yet. It's hard because I'm listening to so much of my own stuff trying to put things together. I haven't had a chance to listen to all the, to all the Mayhem Unleashed stuff. I promise I will, and I'll play some of that clips, and or you guys could go listen to it. So as soon as TJ puts that out as a podcast, you guys can go listen to that yourself. Because it is pretty funny. The fact that he's talking about, and by the way, all Rage has to do is pick up the phone and call me, and I'll let him talk about it. But I do love that he's talking about it in the other show, and we can play the clips, all right? Speaking of clips, do I have any good audio to listen to? I don't know. I'm looking at the list of stuff we've got here. None of it seems Interesting.
Yeah, I don't see. I'm not going to read that.
Let's see.
Oh, I guess the Jimmy Kimmel, Maggie Smith stuff's kind of funny. We talked about this a little bit yesterday with Jimmy Kimmel. Talked about Maggie Smith and how she never shows up to the Emmy Awards. Here's, let me play a little bit of that for you.
This year, for the first time ever, you must be present to win. If we call your name and you are not here to accept, the Emmy goes to the next name on the list. It's called the Maggie Smith rule. And this, if you don't know, is Maggie Smith. She's been nominated for the Emmy 9 times. She's won the Emmy 3 times. How many times do you think she's shown up here to get the Emmy? That's right, no times. This year she had a Sunday ceramics class that she couldn't get out of. When Maggie Smith hears she's nominated for an Emmy, she has the same reaction the rest of us have when we get those 20% off Bed Bath & Beyond coupons in the mail. Right in the garbage. And she goes to other award shows. She showed up at the Oscars to get an Oscar. She showed up at the Tonys. She goes to the Soul Train Awards every year. But is she here in this audience tonight? Well, I don't see her. She's Downton absent is what she is for the 9th time. What is wrong with us? Why do we keep nominating this woman? She's treating us like the People's Choice Awards. I have a message for you, lame Maggie Smith, if you're even bothering to watch. If you want an Emmy, you better hop on a plane right now and get your Dowager Count over here.
Oh, I love it. Love it. And so she won the award later that night. And when she won the award, Jimmy Kimmel came out on stage and stole it. And said, Maggie Smith, you're not here. I'm taking the award. Now put it in the lost and found. Well, yesterday, Maggie Smith. In fact, let me play you that. This is, here's Jimmy Kimmel saying what he said about her. Okay, play that.
And the Emmy goes to Maggie Smith, Downton Abbey.
Maggie couldn't be here tonight, so accepting the award on.
No. We're not mailing this to her. Maggie, if you want this, it will be in the lost and found.
So, which I thought was hysterical. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Well, Maggie Smith sent a reply to Jimmy Kimmel. And saying that she was, I mean, she was funny about it. But she basically said that she was that she'll come pick up her. She'll go. She wanted him to direct her as to where the lost and found was. I do enjoy Jimmy Kimmel. I really do. I think when I watch Late Night, by the way, I think Fallon's a joke. I'll tell you, I do love Stephen Colbert. He's fantastic, and I do like Jimmy Kimmel. Those are the ones that I watch. Even The Daily Show is not, you know, maybe it's just not for me anymore because I'm getting too old, but The Daily Show's just not as good as it used to be. By the way, Jimmy Kimmel last night did talk about his hosting the Emmys, which I thought was pretty cool.
So before bed, I called down and I asked for a wake-up call, which is always terrible. You have to find the phone, you know where it is, and there's no snooze button, right? So the phone rings, I pick it up. And I say, hello. And the woman, a very chipper woman, says, good morning. This is your wake-up call for 8 o'clock. And I said, thank you. And she said, it's my pleasure. And as I'm hanging up the phone, I'm thinking, if it really is her pleasure to wake people up over and over again every day, kind of a sick woman, right? I mean,
pretty good stuff. All right. So, and I got other audio, but... I've already done political stuff, and it's so, yeah. I do have some Trump stuff. Maybe I'll play it tomorrow. You know. Just not,
I can just see leading the emails. If I, you know. By the way, it's, I think this is kind of interesting news. President Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he said, you know, the former 41st president of the United States of America. Well, I guess he's always going to be the 41st president, but the former president, the 41st president. He told the former Maryland Lieutenant Governor Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, who was the daughter of, or she still is the daughter of Robert Kennedy, if you remember. He told her he's voting for Hillary Clinton. So the former Republican president, George Herbert Walker Bush, says he is voting for Hillary Clinton. And now George Walker, you know, George W. didn't say who he's voting for, and neither did Jeb Bush. However, I'm pretty sure they're all voting for, I think there's a Hillary family. Which I thought was pretty interesting, because I think you guys, there'll be something you'll be hearing about today. But I'm going to get, there's so much political stuff, I just want to get away from it. To be honest, I'm sick of the pot. You know, I'm just sick of it. The only thing interesting about the politics is Trump. I hate to say that, but he's so, and the more despicable, the more interesting. For some reason, we've gotten to that point. Like, the more despicable things he says, the more interesting it is, which is really sad. But that's, you know, let's face it, that's what it's like this year. Oh well. What else do I want to get to before I had best of stuff to play, and then I ended up talking all damn show. Let's see. And I don't want to answer any more questions because all the questions are radio involved now, which is my own fault. I opened up the can of worms, which was stupid. But people, I'm not going to comment on. I've done enough commenting on stations. It was stupid of me to do it earlier. I'm not going to. You know, I'm certainly not gonna, you know, continue with it. By the way, it's being reported I'm seeing it right now. I'm seeing it on Facebook. I'm waiting to see, so I see it on Twitter. But for those of you that care, and I don't know who would care about it and who wouldn't, but it's now being reported all over the place, TMZ, Huffington Post, all, that Angelina Jolie has filed for divorce from Brad Pitt. Oh, my God, the horror. Two adults are getting divorced in 2016? According to TMZ, Angelina Jolie has filed for divorce from Brad Pitt, and the trigger was a conflict over the kids. Jolie filed legal docs Monday, citing irreconcilable differences. She's asking for physical custody of the couple's six children. She's asking the judge to give Pitt visitation. Which, by the way, they say it's significant. She does not want him to have joint physical custody, only joint legal custody. Sources connected with the couple tells TMZ Angelina's decision to file has to do with the way Brad was parenting the children. She was extremely upset with his methods. TMZ has been told there's no alleged third person. Her decision to file was solely over Brad's interaction with their children. Boy, that just sounds horrible. They're also saying that Angelina Jolie is not asking him for any spousal support. Why wouldn't she be asking him for, why wouldn't she be asking for spousal support? I mean,
he's loaded, right? I mean, just from producing movies, the guy's got some big money. When someone wants to rush a divorce, okay, I tell you, the only way, think about this. The only times people want to rush divorces is when you need a quick resolution, which would be you're in love with somebody else and you want to move on, you know, or you've done something horrible you don't want to get out, or the other person has done something so horrible you don't want that to get out. So it's usually embarrassment or moving on are the reasons to get a super quick divorce, right? When you're not asking for anything, when there's no support, there's no this, there's no that, and it's especially when he's got as much money as he has. And don't they have, I mean, they have several homes and all this stuff. So, I mean, listen, I'm not Regis and freaking Kathy Lee. I'm not going to do all Hollywood gossip, but it is interesting that on the surface, they seem like a pretty good couple. But it is interesting they're getting divorced, so. Both good looking. Even, man, if maybe, and who knows, maybe they just got sick of having sex with each other. But I'll tell you something. Those are some good looking people. If they got sick of having sex with each other, then there's no hope for any of us. I mean, there's no hope. I honestly, and maybe it's my own self-worth, but I got to tell you, I don't know how my wife does it, you know. I mean, good Lord. The things she does to me, I don't know how she does it. It really is something. How she has not gotten sick of spending time with me is, it's craziness. I mean, that's miraculous, because Angelina Jolie is getting sick of doing Brad Pitt. He's a good looking guy, or he's getting sick of doing her. She's beautiful. So if there's no hope for them, the rest of us are just screwed. I mean, we are screwed. Let's see. By the way, in the time I have spoken, Dwayne Johnson has already filmed 3 more movies. The Chicago Cubs continue with their winning ways last night. They had a great game against Cincinnati. Considering it means nothing, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it just, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's they've already clinched and blah, blah, blah. But it was a really good game, which makes me happy, because my biggest fear as a Cubs fan, my biggest fear is because now they're not playing for anything, that they're going to, you know, they're going to lose that fire they've had, that passion they've had. They're going to lose that Cubs magic that they've had all year. Or go back in like that slump they were in. When do they have the slump? Like June or July? They somehow get in that kind of bad role. Good Lord. If you get in that bad role that they were in before, I mean, horrible things can happen. So it is good to see the Cubs playing and winning. By the way, St. Louis Cardinals now are back in the wild card. The San Francisco Giants got beat yesterday. And when they got beat, they now moved. They're now the odd team out. You got the New York Mets are in the first wild card. The Cardinals are in the second. And by the way, that's, if you've listened to me before, I've said this. That's how I think it's probably going to end. I think it's going to be Cardinals versus Mets, and the winner is going to take on the Cubs. Of which both those teams have been on a roll. In order to win the wild card, you've got to get on some type of roll. And it really looks like it's going to be one of those two teams. The Giants, man, those guys just can't win. The Giants are, oh, man, they're hard to watch. I feel bad for their fans. Meanwhile, the Mets and Cardinals have both been fun watching those games. I'm a Cubs fan. So I hate to see those teams get on a roll, but I got to tell you, they've been some exciting games.
The Cardinals coming back and winning the two games they won against San Francisco, good games. And if you guys have watched the Mets, you talk about a team that's on fire right now, winning every game. It's the Mets. Meanwhile, the American League, it's looking like, well, it's a little bit closer, actually. You have Toronto and Baltimore both tied for the wild card right now. And then you have Detroit, Seattle, Houston, and several other teams, you know, that aren't, that are still possible. I mean, even, I think Kansas City's not even eliminated yet. So, I mean, they're within four games, there are several teams in the American League. Although it does look like it's going to be Baltimore and Toronto that are going to be the teams that go to the wild card. Which means, and then we're going to start seeing clinching. We're going to start seeing clinching now, too, from other teams. You got in the National League, Washington, the L.A. Dodgers and the Cubs are, of course, the division winners. And like I'm predicting, it's going to be Mets and Cardinals as the wild card teams. And in the American League, you've got Cleveland, Boston, which is just, boy, you talk about team on a roll. And you have the Texas Rangers, which, by the way, I think the Rangers can clinch. If I'm not mistaken, the Rangers can clinch like tomorrow or Thursday or something. The Rangers are really close to clinching. But the Houston Astros keep winning. And like I said, they're only like a couple games or 2.5 games out of the wild card. So there's still a possibility that they can get in. So if you're not watching baseball now, if you're like, oh, it's football season, all I'm watching is football, I'm telling you, you really need to be watching baseball. This is a great time of year to watch baseball. I'm sure you Cardinal fans are watching because your team is in it, but there's a lot of other, you know, there's a lot of other teams out there that are playing some good baseball. By the way, Craig just sent me, I made a joke about Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson just finished filming three more movies during this show. He sent me a link that says, this is honest to God true. This is an article that just came out. It says, the 20 upcoming movies of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So these are movies that Dwayne, it is funny, movies that he's currently, that he's done. These are ready to come out, all right? Baywatch, Doc Savage, which he hasn't filmed that one yet, but that's a definite. He's signed on. He's going to do it. A Fast 8, you know, Fast and Furious 8. From the Earth, Journey 3, From the Earth to the Moon. Well, forgive me. Jumanji, which I guess he's filming Jumanji right now with Kevin Hart and Jack Black. He's voiced a movie called Moana or something. I don't know. Which is a cartoon, it looks like. A movie called Rampage, which is the film adaptation of the classic 1986 arcade game. Oh, that just sounds ridiculous. San Andreas 2? What? There's a sequel? I thought the end of San Andreas, the whole like West Coast fell apart. It says, Dwayne Johnson is reteaming with the original, you know, original director and producers. In the movie San Andreas 2. What the hell? The first San Andreas movie earned almost $500 million. I didn't realize that. How are they making a sequel of a movie where, like, everybody dies? Like, San Andreas, didn't it end with, like, you know, California almost separating from everything? There's going to be another earthquake? Why the hell don't these people move? Dwayne Johnson is also going to do Big Trouble in Little China. Good Lord. He's going to remake that. Oh, my God. That was great. The original movie was great. Die Hard in China. It's not the actual title of the movie, but here's what it says. From Little China to Actual China, Dwayne Johnson will reunite with director Rawson Marshall Thurber for a movie that's currently being described as Die Hard in China, which is The Rock versus Insurmountable Odds against the Chinese backdrop. We assume it'll get an actual title at some stage, is what this article says. All right? So those are the movies that are for sure going to come out. These are the ones that might. These are, like they say, the likelies. A movie called Alpha Squad 7 is a sci-fi action comedy set in space that Dwayne Johnson will be starring in. The Janssen Directive, which they're hoping will be a successful series, an ex-Navy SEAL in a spy adventure. Oh, the spy adventure. I hope he wears tight pants. Then a movie called Jungle Cruise. Disney is planning to turn Disneyland's Jungle Cruise theme park ride into a big screen blockbuster starring The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Shazam, of course, is the DC Comics movie where Dwayne The Rock Johnson is not playing Shazam. He's playing Black Adam. By the way, Black Adam is a fantastic character in the comic books. The Rock will be very good at that. He's also involved in the movie Son of Shaolin, which is a graphic novel. G.I. Joe 3 is another one. And then, by the way, these are just movies that The Rock is supposed to put out in the next few years, all right? And by the way, I'm like halfway through the list if you guys want to hear more. The Fast and Furious spinoff movie about just his character, Hobbs. All right? The Rundown 2. If you remember the 2003 action comedy, The Rundown. Oh, you didn't? Oh, welcome to the club. No one else remembered it either. But for some reason, they're going to make a sequel about it. The Wolfman. Universal wants to relaunch the Wolfman franchise. And they want Dwayne Johnson involved. Good Lord. This man is in a, for lack of a better word, a shit ton of movies. Thank you, Craig. That's awesome. So, I'm sorry. I was a little low in my estimation of Dwayne Johnson movies coming out in the near future. Good Lord, 20 movies. Who in the hell has time to? I don't even have time to watch 20 movies. Let alone to star in them. Hey, you know, good for him. The guy wants to work. And you know what? I'll give him credit. I'll give him credit. You know, you got to, when you get that fame, sometimes you got to act like you're going to lose it any day. You know, you might as well, you know, jump on it while people are still interested. You know what I mean? Jump on it. Get all that money saved up. Good for Dwayne Johnson, who I think is in his 40s, maybe around 40. I don't know. Whatever it is, congratulations to him. I mean, that's, you know, do it while you can. Seems like, man, he's got families, and I say families because he and his ex-wife still, they're best of friends, which is really weird. And his new wife, he just had a kid with her, and his ex-wife, they have a daughter together. And, oh, you know, good for Dwayne Johnson. And he does seem, I never met him. He seems like a nice guy, and I know some people that do know him, and they say, yeah, that's legit. He's really like that. So good for him. All right, that's probably all we have time for today. Where are we at in the show? Yeah, that's definitely all we have time for. So it's an hour and a half. Listen, I want to thank everybody for listening today. Nikki, get well. I need you back here. Shows are always better when Nikki's doing well and with me. Thanks to everybody who hung with me today for the solo show. I'm sorry I didn't get to play the best of bits. I know when Nikki's gone, which unfortunately happens, as she's battling illness, it happens a lot. I usually play a best of bit, and I didn't get a chance to. And I also see I had a couple calls, and I didn't get a chance to answer those, so forgive me for not doing that, okay? But there you go. That's it for today's Morning Disaster. We're back tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. So long, everybody.